Midwest is passionate too. I mean, Ohio State now, that's a passion. That's as passionate as any SEC fan base.
You're listening to the Orlando Sentinel's College Gridiron 365 podcast. Hosts Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell give their perspective on the hottest topics in college football. Now let's get on with the show.
And welcome. I'm Matt Mershell, and you're listening to the College Gridiron 365 podcast. Today we got a bonus episode, a special guest. Jerry DiNardo is college football analyst for Big Ten Network. He joins me this week. We're going to discuss a little bit of the shape of the Big Ten, how it kind of has grown over the last couple of years. Big matchup this weekend with Ohio State and Penn State. And kind of what went wrong with Michigan? You know, what is going on with Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines? So Jerry has been kind enough to join me today, and we're going to jump in. Jerry, what are your impressions of the Penn State so far this season?
Oh, great to be with you, Matt. Thanks for having me. You know, I think they've been the best in the Big Ten to this point. And the reason I say that, Matt, is they've been the most balanced. They've been good in all three phases of the game, offense, defense, and kick game. I think they've played the toughest schedule so far. And so, you know, prior to the Ohio State game, I would rank them number one in the conference.
What about Ohio State looking at Urban Meyer's team? I know they're coming off a bye week. What have you seen from the Buckeyes so far this season?
Well, you know, I went back and I looked at the Oklahoma game again yesterday. And, you know, you look at them against Oklahoma, then you look at them since Oklahoma, and they really haven't been tested. You watch the Nebraska game. You know, when Ohio State's on offense, it looks like a Thursday time-up practice. I mean, they're just going chunks down the field. It looks like, you know, a situational practice that you just, you know, stay on your feet and do on Thursday. So I don't know how much they've improved. I know watching the Oklahoma game, protection was a problem, shaking coverage was a problem, and at times JT was a problem. But if they're any better, you know, I don't think we know yet. I think come Saturday we'll find out.
Was that case with the Oklahoma game? I mean, with Ohio State, was that just a case, you think, of Oklahoma being that much better, or was there just some issues, as you mentioned? I mean, offensively, this team was supposed to be better, and they just looked like they didn't get much improvement in that game.
No, Oklahoma was that better, okay. That much better that night. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they played better. They deserve to win. And, you know, new secondary for Ohio State, that was one problem. Not being able to shake coverage is another problem. JT's accuracy, another problem. And offensive line protection, another problem. And you have to give credit to Oklahoma for a lot of those problems. The big question is, how good are they now? You know, Urban's reputation leads us to believe they're a lot better, but we haven't seen it on video because we haven't seen them play anybody.
Now, Penn State, you know, when you look at where they're at, I know they're highly ranked, obviously, in the AP top 25, but they don't seem to be getting nearly as much a buzz, let's say, as an Alabama or a Georgia, you know, or TCU. Is that just perception problem for Penn State, or is that because maybe they haven't faced outside of Michigan last week, they really haven't faced anyone that's given them much of a challenge?
I just think college football is regional, and until you build a national reputation like Alabama has under Nick, like Ohio State has under Urban, like Jim Harbaugh has done, not during the season, but during the offseason, it's regional. And so the buzz in the SEC is probably Alabama, which it always is, and now Georgia, right? Because Georgia's having a great year. Well, the buzz in the Big Ten footprint is always going to be Ohio State, to some extent, whether they win or lose Michigan, and now Penn State. So if James stays there and they continue to have success, then Penn State will become a little bit more of a national brand. But Matt, you know as well as I do, this is a regional game. It's a regional sport. Very few have national followings. I mean, I have no idea what the heck's going on the West Coast. Do you? I mean, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't name the Coastal in the Atlantic Division. I mean, I have no idea. And some people might say to me, yeah, well, I can't name the East or West in the Big Ten. I'd say, okay, we're even. But it's a regional sport. And that's why, depending where you live in the country, you know about Alabama, Ohio State. If you're in the SEC, you know about Georgia. If you're in the Big Ten, you know about Penn State.
Going into this weekend, obviously this game has been circled on everyone's calendar, I'm sure, especially for Ohio State and Penn State fans. Going into this game, what are your expectations, do you think, and what are you looking forward to seeing from these two teams this weekend?
Okay, from a technical standpoint, I think both teams will run the option. They'll both get their quarterbacks involved in the run game. Trace McSorley will be better at the option than JT because Penn State tends to run the option every week. Ohio State tends to save it just for the big games, and it's hard to do that because of mesh issues and decision issues. But both of them will play with the quarterback in the run game. They'll both have this new triple option that's kind of hit the college scene where Penn State will pitch it to Gesicki and people think it's a flare pass. It's actually the option, and you'll see the same type of play with Ohio State. Both offensive lines will be outmatched on second and third and long if their offense decides to throw the ball. Both defensive lines are better than both offensive lines. I'd expect Ohio State, even though they had the week off, whatever their game plan was to get ready for Penn State, it has to be reevaluated because what we learned from Michigan, Matt, is if it's man coverage on the flank, who the heck is going to match up with Saquon and who the heck's going to match up with Gesicki? If I play zone on the outside, then who's going to match up with the wide receivers? But what Penn State taught Michigan is if you want to put a linebacker on Saquon, have at it. We don't care how many times he carries the ball in the run game, but you better be able to cover him. So now Ohio State, if they haven't already discussed that before the Michigan game, they're discussing it now in the defensive staff room led by Greg Schiano.
How do you we talked about Saquon Barkley. He's just had such an amazing start to this season, and obviously he's getting a lot of buzz for the Heisman Trophy. If you're Ohio State, how do you defend a guy like Barkley?
Well, if the option is presented to my defense, I give Penn State a quarterback keep read, right? When you run the option, Matt, the defense decides who's going to carry the ball, not the offense, right? And so I'm going to line up my defense so that when Trace puts the ball in Saquon's stomach, it tells him to disconnect and keep the ball. And then if I'm in Penn State's shoes, now I say, I'll be darned if I'm going to let Ohio State dictate to me that Saquon's not going to run the ball. So I'm going to run a play that looks just like the option, but it's really not the option. They did this against Michigan. And so the defense is always going to look at Trace putting the ball in Saquon's stomach. Sometimes it's going to be the option. Sometimes it's not. But it's always going to be an option defense in case it is, and that's when they break Saquon loose on these predetermined plays where they're really not reading the defense.
Do you think he's good enough to win the Heisman Trophy?
Well, I'm a voter. I certainly think so. I mean, again, I think my job as a Heisman voter is to make sure that I know my region, my footprint, let everybody else learn their footprint, and then at the end, I want to hear what the SEC voters think about the best teams in the SEC, the Pac-12, the Big 12. So my guy is Saquon, but I'd be unfair to the award if I said he was the best in the country because I want to see what the rest of the country has to offer. And my job is to study tape as it gets closer to voting and compare those people to Saquon.
We looking at this game, is there a key for Penn State for them to win that they have to do to win the game, and a key for Ohio State that they have to do to win the game, if you got it?
Well, I think the key for other than turnovers and field position and all that, but the specific keys, you know, obviously for Penn State, it's find ways to get Saquon the ball. It's not in the run game, it's the pass game, and they've done a really good job of that. I think for Ohio State, that offensive line has got to give JT windows and time. He's not a big guy, Matt. He's 6 foot maybe, and he needs windows. He can't see over those giants that Urban has recruited, and he can't throw with the ball with pressure in his face. And so big picture, Saquon, big picture, JT, give me some time, offensive line, and give me some windows that I can see my receivers.
I wanted to ask in a generalized question, how would you describe the Big Ten's chances for a playoff spot based on what we've seen so far?
Well, I think the second half of the season would have to be a disaster for them not to get one team in. And I could see a scenario where they could get two teams in. Let's say Ohio State wins out, and let's say Wisconsin wins the West, and let's say the only loss that Penn State has is Ohio State. Ohio State beats Wisconsin in Indianapolis, okay? Ohio State goes, and a one-loss Penn State goes that didn't play in the championship game. But I only think that's possible, and I only think it's possible, you know, Notre Dame may have to lose two games, and two of the five conferences may have to lose two games. But I'd be shocked if the Big Ten didn't have one in, and I wouldn't really be all that surprised if they had two.
That's interesting. You know, we looked at the rankings, and you see the SEC with Alabama and Georgia, you know, with two teams in the top four or five right now. This looks like a year where not only the Big Ten, but maybe the SEC, as you mentioned in that scenario, could possibly get, you know, two teams into the playoff for the first time, I think, in the 4 years of the playoff being around.
Yeah, I think the advantage, Matt, that the Big Ten has over the SEC is I don't think the loser of the Alabama, let's say Alabama and Georgia play in the championship game, I don't think the loser of that game gets to go. I think if the SEC had a whole player, like what I'm saying about Penn State, yeah. Okay, like if Penn State beats Ohio State's out, Big Ten only gets one. Okay, that's fine. Okay, but if Georgia loses in a championship game, it's hard to put them in the playoff. Now, if Georgia didn't go to the championship game and had one loss, and I don't know what's going on in the SEC, so I don't know if that's possible, then I could see the SEC getting to it.
We've talked so much about Ohio State and Penn State, but what do you think of Wisconsin? You mentioned them a little bit, you know, possibly getting the Big Ten championship. What do you think of how they've performed so far this season?
You know, it's been okay. You know, I think they're a really good team. I think they may, you know, I'm on the Joe Moore Award Committee for the best offensive line in the country, and I think Wisconsin is going to be in that conversation of the best offensive line in the country. I think Hornibrook is coming on. I think they're really good on defense. My problem, Matt, is, you know, they've been in tough games, but not against tough opponents, and I just wish their schedule was a little bit more difficult. You know, last year we said it was impossible. They opened with LSU, and we didn't give them. We told everybody they couldn't win the West because of their schedule. This year, we told everybody they're going to win the West because of their schedule. But their schedule's been a little counterproductive to me. You know, it hasn't been. They've had struggles, but only because they're not playing very good, not because the opponents have been very good. So that worries me against Iowa. That I worry about an upset. Michigan that I worry about an upset in the championship game. So, but I think they're a very good team. I wish they were challenged a little bit more.
Switching gears a little bit, you know, with everything that happened with Michigan, has it just been a difficult year for them because of the talent that they lost, or has the shine rubbed off a little bit on the Jim Harbaugh hire?
Well, you know, a little bit of all that. Okay. But they're behind schedule. I mean, let's not make any mistake about it, okay? And when I say behind schedule, it's a schedule that was made by Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State won the national championship in Urban's third year. James, extraordinary work to win the Big Ten championship in 3 years. And if you look at Michigan, 2 years in the East, they came in third. This week, they play Rutgers for fourth place. Okay? And so, third or fourth place. No, I guess fourth. The winner is in fourth place. Okay, so they're behind schedule. But the question is why? Why can you have a defense that has that much talent, run that well, and have an offense that can't get out of their own way? And I think it's quarterback play. You think of Urban when he took over Ohio State, he had depth at quarterback. Think about James when Trace was committed to him at Vanderbilt, and he brought him with him when he got the Penn State job. So both Ohio State and Penn State have had good quarterback play. Michigan hasn't. Offensive line. Again, I'm on the Joe Moore committee. We're not talking about Michigan. I mean, Michigan can't have one of the best offensive lines in the country. Really? Seriously? And so, you know, why not? They line up in the pro formation. They don't have Jonathan Taylor like Wisconsin. They don't have a great tailback. So Wisconsin can recruit Jonathan Taylor, but Michigan can't. So you line up in pro formation, you have an average tailback and an average offensive line. You know, the days of winning games 14-7 and 17-14 and 21-14, those days are over with the spread. And so they're definitely behind schedule. And it's not my schedule. I think it's the Big Ten East schedule. And so, you know, they're all making $6-8 million a year. And, you know, that's the stakes in that division.
One of the things that's impressed me about the Big Ten, especially in the last couple of years, is, you know, the SEC during the BCS era, you know, really kind of dominated the landscape. But then the Big Ten, the schools started making, you know, smart hires like Urban going to Ohio State and, you know, James Franklin at Penn State. Has that you're seeing these moves pay off now with guys like Jim Harbaugh and stuff like that?
Yeah, you are. And I think Jim's a good hire. Don't get me wrong. I just think he's behind schedule. I think he's done more in the offseason than the in season. I think the Rome trip's a wonderful idea and satellite. I mean, I think he's brought a lot to college football, but it just hasn't manifested itself on the field. But yes, at the end of the day, Matt, at the end of the day, football is as important on some Big Ten campuses as it is on SEC campuses. It just doesn't manifest itself in the same way. People somehow get up and go to work on Monday in the Big Ten footprint if their team loses. I'm not sure they all go to work Monday in the SEC footprint if their team loses. They're so passionate. But the Midwest is passionate too. I mean, Ohio State now, that's a passion. That's as passionate as any SEC fan base. And, you know, they might not cheer as loud and may not have as many live mascots and so on and so forth, but it's important to their institutions. And I think finally the presidents and the Big Ten institutions said, you know what, if the market value is $7 million and our faculty are making $75,000, so be it. If we were going to hire the best chemistry professors, we'll pay the best chemistry professors the market value. And if we want to hire the best football coaches, we're going to have to belly up to the table and pay the football coaches these outrageous salaries.
Has there been, and this is the last question, I don't want to keep you, but has there been, what's one big surprise for you this season out of the Big Ten in general?
I thought Michigan would be better. Okay. I really did. I thought their run game would be better. I knew how they were built. I didn't see them going to overtime against Indiana. I didn't see them losing to Michigan State. I didn't see them getting run out of Happy Valley. That surprises me the most. I don't know that I didn't pick them to win the East. I think I picked them third. I think I picked them behind Ohio State, Penn State. But my goodness, I thought they would do better than this.
Well, listen, Jerry, thank you. I appreciate your time this afternoon. I appreciate you joining me on the podcast and kind of catching up on some of the Big Ten stuff, and I look forward to catching up with you down the road.
Anytime, Matt. Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
The College Gridiron 365 podcast is produced by the Orlando Sentinel and hosted by Brant Parsons and Matt Mershell. Come back often and be sure to add the College Gridiron 365 podcast to your RSS and iTunes feeds. Follow everything college football at OrlandoSentinel.com.